All right, let's jump into a world of rebellion and talking animals. You guys sent in a ton of requests for a deep dive on George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Yeah, seems like everyone's reading it.
Yeah, and we've got a study guide to work with in the full audiobook transcript.
Okay.
So we're gonna try to like unpack the core themes and the symbolism in this deceptively simple story.
That was good.
Because Animal Farm, it's not just about like barnyard politics, right? It's a look at power and revolution and maybe even a reflection of ourselves.
You know what strikes me is how Orwell takes this classic fable setup and then uses it to explore these like really complex ideas about human nature.
Right.
It's an allegory.
Right.
So by understanding how these animals function, I think we can gain insights into bigger societal structures and historical events.
Totally. And even without knowing all the historical parallels, the story is so gripping.
Oh yeah, for
And the
sure.
audiobook like really brings those early chapters to life. You know, we're introduced to Manor Farm where the animals are living in pretty grim conditions under Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, he represents that classic like tyrannical figure, right?
Yeah.
Neglecting the animals, exploiting their labor.
Totally.
And then we have Old Major, this aging pig, delivering his powerful speech. And he doesn't just complain about the food or the workload. He calls for a complete overthrow of the system.
It's amazing how Orwell captures that growing sense of unrest and revolutionary fervor.
Yeah.
Like the animals are so desperate for change, they're ready to latch on to Old Major's vision. But what's interesting is that it's the pigs, right? Not the strongest or even the most numerous animals.
Right.
They're the ones who end up spearheading the rebellion.
Yeah. Why do you think Orwell made that choice?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the study guide points out that the pigs are considered the most intelligent animals on the farm.
Okay.
So Orwell is playing with this idea that intellects can be just as powerful or even more powerful than brute force
Oh, that's a good point.
when it comes to seizing control.
Yeah, and that intellectual power is what shapes their revolutionary ideology, animalism,
Right.
which on the surface sounds pretty utopian, right? No more human exploitation, the animals working together for their collective good.
Yeah.
It's all summed up in those catchy seven commandments, like four legs good, two legs bad.
It's simple, it's memorable. It unites the animals
Right.
under a common goal.
But that simplicity also makes it really easy to manipulate later on, right?
Oh, absolutely. The vagueness of some of those commandments, like all animals are equal,
Right.
leaves them open to interpretation and manipulation down the line.
Yeah, and you can already see that potential for manipulation even in those early days of the rebellion.
Oh, for sure.
The audiobook highlights all these little moments where the pigs, particularly Napoleon and Snowball,
Yeah.
they start making decisions that seem to contradict the whole spirit of animalism,
Right.
even if they're technically following the
Like when
rules.
they take all the milk and apples for themselves.
Exactly. They justify it by saying that they need it for brain work.
Right.
But it's clear that there's already a hierarchy forming with the pigs at the top.
Absolutely.
Were the other animals just naive, or was there something else going on?
I think it's a combination of factors.
Yeah.
You have to remember the animals are experiencing this incredible sense of hope and this newfound freedom.
Right.
They're willing to overlook some inconsistencies because they desperately want to believe in this revolution's promise.
They want it to work so bad.
Yeah. And of course, the pigs are masters of manipulation, playing on the other animals' emotions and using their newfound power to their advantage.
Okay, so let's talk about those power dynamics. Snowball and Napoleon,
Yeah.
they're presented as these contrasting figures, both intelligent, but with very different approaches to leadership.
Yeah.
The study guide goes into a lot of detail about their personalities.
Yeah, Snowball, he's portrayed as the idealistic visionary, right? He's focused on educating the animals and modernizing the farm.
Yeah.
He comes up with these ambitious plans for the windmill, which he sees as the key to a more prosperous future.
He's like the passionate revolutionary leader.
Rallying the masses with big ideas.
Yeah, and then you have Napoleon, who's much more pragmatic, even ruthless in his pursuit of power.
Right.
He understands that true power isn't about grand gestures, it's about control.
Right.
He dismisses Snowball's windmill plan, probably seeing it as a threat to his own authority.
Makes sense.
It's not long before their conflict comes to a head and things get really intense on the farm.
That's where we'll pick up in part two.
Right.
We've seen the seeds of rebellion, the rise of the pigs, and now this clash of ideologies is about to explode. But before we go, I'm curious, what stood out to you from this initial look at Animal Farm? What parallels, if any, are you already drawing to our own world?
That's a good question.
Think about that as we take a quick break, and we'll be right back to uncover how this revolution takes a dark turn.
Can't wait.
So we left off with this simmering tension between Snowball and Napoleon.
Yeah.
And things don't exactly end with a polite debate.
No, not at all. This is where we see Napoleon's true nature.
He orchestrates this incredibly dramatic scene.
Okay.
The audiobook really brings it to life. He unleashes this pack of ferocious dogs that he's been secretly training.
Oh, sneaky.
They chase Snowball off the farm, and just like that, any pretense of shared leadership is shattered.
It's such a brutal power grab. It reminds me of like dictators throughout history who eliminate their rivals to solidify control.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is how quickly the narrative shifts.
Right.
Suddenly, Napoleon is the sole leader, and those dogs are his enforcers.
Exactly. Fear becomes the primary tool of control. The other animals they witness, Snowball's expulsion.
Right.
They're too terrified to challenge Napoleon.
Right.
And with Snowball gone, there's no one left to advocate for his more idealistic vision for Animal Farm.
And that's when the pig's grip on power really tightens.
Yeah.
The Seven Commandments, which once represented this hopeful vision for equality, start to undergo some interesting revisions.
It's not like Napoleon just abolishes them.
Yeah.
He's much more cunning than that. He uses Squealer, this smooth-talking pig, to reinterpret and distort the commandments.
Oh, so sneaky.
To serve the pig's interests. The study guide has a whole section on propaganda techniques. And it's chilling to see how Squealer employs them.
It's like watching a masterclass in manipulation.
Yeah.
He plays on the animals' emotions, their fears, their loyalty to the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
He twists logic, rewrites history, even uses catchy slogans to distract them from what's really happening.
Now, the most disturbing part is that it works.
Right.
The animals, especially those who are less educated or can't read, they accept Squealer's explanations without question. They're so caught up in the idea of animalism
right.
that they fail to see how it's being twisted right before their eyes.
There's this one line in the audiobook that always gives me chills.
Oh, yeah.
It's when Squealer tells the animals, "It is for your sake that we drink that milk and eat those apples."
Wow.
He frames the pig's greed as a sacrifice for the greater good. It's so insidious.
It's brilliant and terrifying at the same time.
I know, right? And as the pigs consolidate their power, you see the stark contrast emerge between their lavish lifestyle and the increasingly harsh conditions for the other animals.
Yeah.
Remember those early scenes where the animals are working together, singing Beasts of England, feeling empowered by their collective labor?
Yeah.
That spirit is completely gone. Now they're toiling harder than ever, their rations are shrinking, and they're constantly reminded of the threat from the outside world.
It's all about maintaining control through fear and propaganda. The pigs even resurrect the threat of Jones returning as a way to keep the animals in line.
Right.
They claim they need special privileges and resources to protect animal farm.
Of course.
But it's clear that they're simply enjoying the spoils of their revolution.
And poor Boxer. He becomes this tragic symbol of the exploited working class. The study guide highlights his unwavering loyalty to Napoleon, his belief in the cause, and his famous motto, "I will work harder."
Boxer is heartbreaking because he represents those who are genuinely dedicated to the ideals of the revolution, but are ultimately betrayed by the very system they helped create.
Yeah.
He's too trusting, too willing to sacrifice himself for the cause, and he never questions the motives of those in power.
His fate is one of the most gut-wrenching moments in the book.
Yeah.
But even before that, you see how the windmill project, which was initially Snowball's idea, becomes this symbol of the animals' exploitation.
Right. At first, the windmill represents progress and hope for a better future.
Uh-huh.
But under Napoleon's rule, it becomes this monument to their endless toil. They're working tirelessly, enduring hardships.
Right.
Well, the pigs are literally living high on the hog, so to speak.
And as the pigs grow more powerful, they start adopting human behaviors.
Yeah.
Drinking alcohol, sleeping in beds, even engaging in trade with neighboring farmers.
It's almost like they're becoming the very thing they revolted against.
Exactly. That's the tragic irony of the whole story. What starts as a rebellion against tyranny ends up replicating the very structures of power it was meant to dismantle.
And then, of course, there's that final alteration to the Seven Commandments. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Ugh, it's such a gut punch. It's like this reminder that power corrupts.
Yeah.
And revolutions, no matter how well-intentioned, can easily go astray.
That brings us to the final and perhaps most chilling betrayal. The moment the pigs walk on two legs, effectively erasing the last vestige of their animal identity.
It's such a bleak ending, but it leaves you with so much to think about. Do you think Orwell is suggesting that all revolutions are doomed to fail?
Hmm.
Or is there a glimmer of hope hidden somewhere in this story?
That's a great question and one that we'll explore further in the final part of our deep dive. But before we get there, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
What's been the most striking revelation for you so far?
Yeah.
What connections are you making to your own experiences or observations about the world?
Let's unpack those thoughts after a quick pause. Okay, so we're back. And I have to say, this deep dive into Animal Farm has been a wild ride.
It really has.
We've seen this rebellion ignite and hope turn sour and power corrupt, absolutely.
Yeah.
But is this just like a bleak tale of inevitable tyranny, or is there something more we can take away from it?
I think one of the most important takeaways from Animal Farm is that it's not just a historical allegory about the Russian Revolution.
Yeah.
It's a cautionary tale about the dangers of unchecked power,
right,
and the fragility of ideals in any society.
And the study guide has all these essay questions that really push you to think about the broader implications of the story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like one of them asks, how does Orwell explore the relationship between education and ignorance and manipulation?
That's such a crucial point. The animals who are most easily manipulated by the pigs are the ones who can't read,
right,
who don't question, who blindly accept what they're told.
Right.
They lack the critical thinking skills necessary to see through the pigs' propaganda mm-hmm. and to recognize how they're being exploited.
It's like they're trapped in this cycle of just accepting information without truly processing it.
Yeah.
Makes me think about how we consume information today.
Right.
Especially with social media and the constant bombardment of news and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Are we any less susceptible to manipulation than those animals on Animal Farm?
That's a really thought-provoking question.
Yeah.
We live in a world where information overload is just the norm.
It's true.
It can be so difficult to sift through all the noise and discern truth from fiction, fact from opinion.
Right.
And just like the animals on Animal Farm, we can be swayed by emotional appeals.
Yeah.
Catchy slogans, charismatic leaders who promise easy solutions to really complex problems.
Okay, so if Orwell is holding up this mirror to human nature, what's the solution? Is he saying that all attempts at revolution or social change are doomed to fail?
I don't think that's necessarily the message. Remember, even in the darkest moments of Animal Farm, there are characters like Benjamin the Donkey.
Oh, yeah.
Who see through the pig's deception. They may not actively resist,
yeah,
but they retain their skepticism and their ability to think critically.
Benjamin is like the voice of reason, even yeah, though he often comes across as cynical.
He does.
But he represents those who see the flaws in the system but feel powerless to change it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And while his passivity is debatable, his critical thinking skills are crucial.
Yeah.
I think Orwell is suggesting that education, critical thinking,
right,
a willingness to question those in power, are essential safeguards against tyranny and manipulation.
So it's not about abandoning hope for a better world.
No.
It's about being informed, engaged, and vigilant.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing the tactics of manipulation and refusing to accept things at face value.
Precisely. Animal Farm serves as this powerful reminder that the fight for freedom and equality is an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
It requires constant vigilance and a commitment to truth, even when it's uncomfortable.
Well, this has been such a rich and thought-provoking deep dive.
I agree.
Animal Farm, on the surface, it might seem like a simple fable, but underneath, it's this complex exploration of power and revolution and the human condition.
Absolutely.
It challenges us to examine our own roles in the systems we inhabit and to ask ourselves, are we the pigs, the sheep, or the donkeys?
That's a great question.
And what kind of world do we want to create?
Those are great questions to leave our listener with, because ultimately the responsibility lies with each of us to be aware, to be informed, and to use our voices to hold power accountable. Only then can we hope to avoid the tragic fate of the animals on Animal Farm.